Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Twitter poll question of the day. It's brought to you by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. Watch and wager on all pro sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. Today's question, who would you rather see win the World Series? And this is a brutal one. A, the cheating Houston Astros, or B, the big-time rival Atlanta Braves, rival, of course, to the Phils. You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. An opportunity for you to let your voice be heard today and hopefully rattle some cages down there at the Novacare Complex. Let the Eagles hear why you're so frustrated, why you are so frustrated, and what you think they can do different to actually unmuck this situation. And they are very mucked right now. They have really messed it up a lot of different ways now for a number of years. Let's go to our buddy Black Gritty. Black Gritty, what's up, man?
Hey, you know, I used to call Doug a doofus magoofus because I thought that nobody in press conferences could sound that dumb. And then we roll right into Dumb and Dumber, and I get Nick Kotite. And I'm like, wow, this guy is a moron. You guys can't say it. You got to be BC. The first time he opened his mouth publicly, I said this is stuttering Stanley weirdo wackadoo. Then he comes out here.
Well, let me hold on. I want to say something. I don't want to hear the stuttering thing. Some people have issues with that.
No,
just don't go there. But if you want to say he sounds like he struggles to put sentences together and doesn't seem to understand enough of how to be a leader and an effective head coach, go there, because there I think you're accurate.
He can't speak in a coherent sentence or paragraph.
Yep.
He can't coach a team. He takes 7 weeks to put your quarterback under center. Everybody in America said at least try. It takes you 7 games. We're about to play the Lions. And this guy who wanted to bite off kneecaps, I mean, he's no speechologist himself, but at least they're in games fighting, losing heartbreaking games. Like, if we're losing that way, you feel like, okay, you know, but we're just getting smoked. It's embarrassing. Yeah. And then the guy comes out and says the things that he says. The defense, okay, you don't watch the defense? You know why you should watch the defense? Maybe pick up some offensive players from the other team because something they're doing is right. 5 quarterbacks at 80% a clip. You can't do that in a video game, John. You can't do that in a video game. So I don't understand how anybody isn't upset at Jeffrey Lurie and Harry Rosen, because guess what? They're the ones that sat down with this man, hired him, told us that he was the smartest guy they had ever talked to. Well, who are you talking to? You're a billionaire. This is the smartest guy. This is the football guy you picked. It's all on them. Howie's not going anywhere, so we need to buckle in, because guess what? We're about to be Benny and the Jets for the next 3 to 4 years until it gets so bad. When the Lions had that guy, Mullen Miller, whatever his name was, for like a decade, and they just wouldn't fire him, even though he picked 5 wide receivers straight, that's what we're heading into right now, because Howie isn't going anywhere, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah, it's really bad. All right, give me a sports clip we've seen on TV a lot.
My it's not the winning answer, but it's my favorite. Tom Brady gets sacked on the last drive, loses the Super Bowl to the Philadelphia Eagles. Look at his face. Brings me joy every day.
All right, man, you got it. That's funny. Sean in Cherry Hill. Sean, what's up, dude?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call. Let me get, before I get this off my chest with the Eagles, I never agree with Joe, and I always agree with James, but go Braves, come on. This is like the Giants playing the Patriots in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it is similar to that, actually. That's an interesting way to put it.
The underdog school, I would rather root
for I rooted for the Giants against the Patriots.
So did I. I was in Connecticut, so I was surrounded by Giants and Patriots fans. So on the freaking Birds, so I was expecting 6 wins this season, and I'm still pissed off because you said they didn't learn anything from last year. They didn't learn anything from the first quarter of the Raiders game. They handed the ball to Miles Sanders, and then they just stopped. Yeah, he got hurt at one point, but you still could have done that with Gainwell and Boston Scott. Go back under center and whip Booby. So he started a brand page on Instagram, and he had put on a signed jersey out and like said, oh, drop the comments. So I sent him a video of my daughter saying like, run, Booby, run, and all this. So he sent me the jersey. Then I go to the 49ers game, and it was all downhill from there. So I'm sitting there like, oh my gosh, I was so hyped week one, and then it just all crumbled. And I'm they got to run the ball. Like, it's simple. The whole freaking world knows it.
Totally.
It's unbelievable. But for 1 week, something they play on the TV a lot, we saw last night, the Beastquake.
Yeah, that's another one. That was what a run that was. What, 2011, I believe, the Beastquake with Marshawn Lynch, 2011, 2012, 2011. Because 2011 they made it, 2012 they made the playoffs again. I think they lost to Atlanta, and then 2013 was the year they won the Super Bowl. Not going to be a winning answer, but a very cool play. All right, speaking of answers, Joel Embiid, John, he is singing a different tune on Ben Simmons with his answers now. And I'm glad he is, because he should. Now, I took a lot of heat last week for saying that Joel was out of line with his comments. I mean, like 99% of people disagree with me. But I think it's pretty clear the Sixers have gotten Joel and said, yo, dude, what are you doing here? We're trying to trade the guy. Knock it off. Let's go back to what Joel said last week. Then we'll get to what he said over the weekend. We played it a couple times last week, but let's hear it again. Joel, done with that man, Ben Simmons.
At this point, I don't care about that man, honestly. He does whatever he wants. That's not my job. That's those guys' job.
All right, so we covered this, ad nauseum last week, on and on and on, and almost everyone disagreed with me. And my point was, it's not so much Joel's job to pump up Ben's value, but it's certainly his job to make sure he doesn't undermine Ben's value. I mean, for the love of God, the general manager's trying to trade the guy. Please don't go out there and say, I'm done with that man. Now, people thought I was nuts. Obviously, Joel's been gotten to, because we saw him in a pregame interview Friday night before the game. By the way, the Sixers lost in part because they crumbled. Also in part because Doc Rivers was a bonehead at the end of the game. Two different times, not challenging plays versus the Nets. But before that game even began, Joel did an interview, talked about how he loves Ben Simmons. I'm thinking, well, we know you don't, but I'm glad you're saying it. And then Johnny takes the microphone before the game to the crowd. And, of course, this is also broadcast. Here's Joel's message to the fans. And he's, he's telling people we got to support Ben. Still our brother. And then, of course, people cheered and we loved Joel and blah, blah, blah. John, what's your reaction now? I mean, you know how much of a pounding I took here last week, whether that was Wednesday or Tuesday or Thursday or a couple days in there. What's your reaction now?
What do you mean?
What's your reaction to Joel's 180? He's done a complete 180.
I think he was told he had to try to help the situation.
Yep.
I think he was told, hey, Ben is now claiming mental illness or whatever you want to call it, mental issues.
Yep.
We are obligated by the NBA to treat this like it's real. So we have to really mind our P's and Q's here.
I think that is true.
We have to make every effort to give him the help and support that he needs, because this has become a hot, issue.
Whether whether you believe him or not.
Right. So
yeah, I agree with you on that.
There's no room for error or there's no wiggle room where you can try to like tongue in cheek roll your eyes while you say it. You've got to be earnest or do the best you can to try to be earnest when you say these things and be supportive of Ben, because we are in new territory now.
I agree with you on that. Do you still think Ben was – I mean, look, I'm not trying to pin you down, but I'll just say this. I think people misread it last week. Joel is impetuous and he's immature. He's also the best player in Philadelphia. But it was immature.
He was being a good leader. Everyone in that locker room wanted him to say what he said because everyone hates Ben. And you should understand
that. Tobias never says that stuff.
Okay, good. Good job, Tobias.
Ever.
Somehow you swallowed your pride and you were able to be the bigger man. I would rather have the guy who, did what Joel did. Says the truth. Calls it like it is. I think I appreciate his outspokenness. I think he's very sensible while also being outspoken. I thought that there was nothing wrong with what he said, because Ben has put this city in such a predicament.
He has.
And I do hold it against him. Okay. Joel should too. I know. I'm certain that he does.
Well, there's no
question
about
that. Based on the comments. Yeah. So, let it rip. Now you did that. and you can't let it rip any longer because Ben is, I mean, really, oh, he's using a technicality to manipulate the situation even further.
He may be, he may not be. That's the tricky
part.
Oh,
come on.
Well,
he may not be. No, he is. So you trust Ben Simmons?
Listen,
you think that he's actually struggling with mental illness?
Well, I think he is afraid to shoot the ball, and I think he's afraid of failure, and I think there's something in there that's probably mental.
Yeah, well, once again, this makes him a worse person in my book, and I don't buy it for a second. I don't think the Sixers do either, but they have to act a certain way.
I understand.
Now,
well, I still think Joel should not have said what he said, but people can make their own conclusions now. 215-592-9494. Speaking of, shouldn't say what he says, Nick Sirianni. Holy hell, every time I hear this guy talk, I feel worse. Well, we had another opportunity to hear him talk this morning, if you missed it. Sirianni with Angelo, covering a lot of ground about the state of the Eagles. That interview, you'll hear it next. We'll react together. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie on 94 WIP. All right, Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. We'll talk to Ross Tucker at 12:45, his perspective with the Eagles. He'll field phone calls with us for an entire hour, 94 WIP. A lot of aggravation. We've given everyone here a chance today. Just let it fly with what you're feeling about the Eagles in a way that, you know, we encourage you to direct your sentiments, you know, literally toward the Eagles so that they can hear you. Why you're so aggravated and frustrated, why you're feeling so low, and hopefully somehow, some way we can get through to the Eagles brass, the top guys, to do things differently. Speaking of one of the top guys, Nick Sirianni, he joins us. He doesn't join us, but his interview with Angelo, we're going to play that interview coming up shortly, real shortly, in a matter of minutes. Let's go to Enzo right now in Westchester. Enzo, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Gus.
Hi, Enzo.
I want to talk to Jeff. Hi, John. How are you, brother? I'm trying to speak here rationally to Jeff. Jeff, you've lost the respect, faith, and the team, the city, the parent on the field, and on the airwaves as well. We hope you're listening. Not only is the parent there, but now it's apparent nationally. You're in this position because of a poorly managed organization by a guy who only cares about his own agenda. And that's not winning, that's for damn sure. For him, it's money. We know everyone cares about money, and it's the root of evil. I believe that. I strongly do. You, Jeff, have allowed this to go on too far. Now we have a team that we as fans feel sick to our stomachs about. And that, my friend, doesn't help your finances at all. It only hurts you. Think about the money, since you like the money so much, and better your finances will be the right players on the field, the right coaches out there. Take a look at the contract Howie has put in place. Take a look at the coaches he's put in place for this team, for this city, for us fans. Okay, they're so astronomically ridiculous all over the place, the words I can't even think of. All right, it's just, I'm stating all this to you this way so you can fire Howie and find the other guy. We don't even care for the other guy.
Yeah, the money thing you said is an interesting point, because think of it this way. Can you imagine, John, this Christmas season? Now, I know some COVID issues will still play a part in how many people choose to go into malls and buy things, although, of course, you can buy things online, Amazon and all that. Can you imagine how much less money will be spent on Eagles merchandise this year compared to 2017?
Actually,
in the lead up to Christmas, it's not even going to be close.
I hadn't thought about this part at all, which is really interesting.
It is interesting.
The money could be like doubled, tripled, quadrupled. Just if we liked what we saw, if we appreciated what we're being. Given from this staff, from this team, like, I don't have any faith that things are like looking up either. But that financial part of it, that when he said that's all he cares about, like, I don't think it is anymore.
I don't either, but he does care about it.
But
anybody that owns a business should care about it.
Certainly he does care about it. He does, but I think what he cares about most is doing this his way and succeeding and proving people wrong, essentially.
Could be.
That I'm an outsider. I'm not a football guy, and me and my little not football guy, Howie, did it our way, and we beat all of you.
Yep.
And we're going to keep doing that. Like, I think that's part of this.
It could be his mindset.
That's very problematic.
Enzo, you bring up some interesting points. Give me a sports clip that's been seen on TV a ton, Enzo.
I'll give you one, but real quick, one last point to what you just said, Joe, about, like, merchandise.
Yep.
My son, his 13, turned down a Jalen Hurts jersey and a Devontae Smith jersey, either or, and he wanted a Flyers jersey.
Yeah. So I got him a Ristolainen and Flyers jersey.
I gotcha.
Is a kid that wears an Eagles jersey with pride, okay?
Yep.
And doesn't want to.
I hear it. So give me a sports clip. Which one?
John Taylor, Joe Montana.
And Montana to Taylor to beat the Bengals in the 88 Super Bowl. That was pretty cool. The thing about a jersey, like you buy a sweatshirt, it's still going to be our team. The thing about a jersey, you want the guy to still be on the team. And you want him to be considered good. I think you can feel fairly secure in buying a Devontae Smith jersey right now, but not many others. I mean, it's not a good list. I mean, first off, like Jordan Mailata is going to be here a while, but people don't normally wear an offensive lineman's jersey. So it's a pretty,
you know, he's
small
pretty
list.
Colorful though for an offensive lineman.
I know he
is. He's interesting.
I know he is. But you know what I'm saying, John? You don't see too many people walking around in an offensive lineman's jersey.
You're right. I would certainly wear one. He's good. He's musical. He does a lot of really cool stuff.
I know.
Seems like an interesting
guy. But my
guy.
Thing is, I'll stick with like my McNabb jersey, my Foles jersey, my Charlie Garner jersey. I don't need to buy the new one. That's my point. I'm not driven to have to go buy a new Eagles jersey. I'm good. Where a lot of people might say, yeah, I'm good. I got it.
There's no doubt.
Or if I don't have a jersey, I'm not buying his. Hey, Fletcher Cox will be here another year or two. Jalen Hurts will be here another 6 months.
Well, like that's a big question about Fletcher. Will he be here or just be paid?
Well, that's it. All right, let's get to Nick Sirianni. He joins Angelo either on Monday or Tuesday every single week to talk about the game that just happened. In this case, it was today on Tuesday, and our opportunity to go back and listen to that lot went down here. Thorough conversation. Here's Sirianni this morning with Angelo.
Nick Sirianni. Hi, Nick.
Hey, Angelo.
Nick, lots of ground to cover today. I'll just go right to it. The fans are very much complaining right now that the coaching staff is not learning from past mistakes. What's your answer to that?
Yeah, my answer to that is I believe we've been growing, and I see progress over and over and over again. If you look at the offense there on the other night against our last game there, you know, you saw us under center more. You saw us with more play action. You saw us different looks to get Miles some touches. But at the same time, still doing some of the fundamental things that we really believe in, you know, like with the RPO game and the zone reads and some of the core concepts and the drop back passes. So I definitely believe, you know, that we're just continuing to learn what we do well on offense, what we do well on defense, what we do well on special teams, and trying to adapt to that. Again, in my opinion, that the offense did look different, and I believe that helped Jalen in a lot of aspects, just being in that play action and running the ball a little bit more.
All right, but Nick, if we could see the point that the offense took some strides, didn't the defense go backwards? 30 points in 38 snaps.
Yeah, you know, like what we said with the defense, and we just want to be able to challenge a little bit more. Again, that all starts with me. And that starts with me as far as, you know, what we want to call in different situations. And I have 100% trust in Jonathan Gannon and his staff and our players on defense. And I know they're doing most of the, you know, all of the game planning and all the watching of the tape throughout the week. But, you know, if we want to challenge more, and that can mean a couple different things. When you say you want to challenge more, and that can mean you want to pressure more, right? That could also mean you want to play a little bit more man to man and get a little bit closer to them, to the receivers. And so anytime a quarterback, you know, no disrespect, you know, Derek Carr played a good game, but and obviously he was 91%, but anytime a quarterback's 91% there, you know, that those are the couple things that have to happen. And that starts with me, because I have to get that in and say, hey, I want to challenge it more. I want to challenge these guys more and go from there. So we feel like we're growing on every side of the ball, offense, defense, and special teams.
All right, but I'm not sure your own members of your team feel that way. Fletcher Cox was very vocal in saying that the scheme that you guys are using now on defense is not taking advantage of his ability. When you have your own veterans saying that, Nick, don't you have to question it yourself?
There's no question that when you got a guy on your team that is frustrated, I think what we got to understand too about this game is that it's so emotional. This game is so emotional. Then we put so much into it, and you know we put so much into it. Fans put so much into it, and it's just an emotional game. And so those things happen. Things like that happen. Obviously, you would love for those conversations always to stay in house, but gosh, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten frustrated in a game and said something I didn't want to say, or you know, or whatnot. So I understand the frustration, and there's no doubt players like Fletch, we got to use their abilities, because it's all about the players, right? Our job as coaches is to put these guys in position so their skill set shines. And when a player doesn't feel like that's happening, I understand the frustration. And our doors are always open to talk to them. We've talked, Fletch and I have talked. And again, you want those things to stay in house, but sometimes they don't, and that's okay. And so when stuff like that happens, you got to look at ourselves as coaches and say, you know, that's a question that I ask all our coaches every week. And you know, I'll just let you in on some inside stuff. Every week, I ask our coaches, hey, we feel like this guy, and this guy are our best players. Are we utilizing their skill set? And that's a question I ask every week, whether it's to the offense, to the defense, to the special teams. And so, again, we're constantly thinking about that. But you know what? We got to make sure that what we're thinking about translates to on the field, and that first starts with me.
Nick, a lot of people are losing faith in Jonathan Gannon, and it's because he's really not proven in the role he's in now. And his defense is failing spectacularly. Are you disappointed in it? Are you losing any faith? Give us your sense right now of your defensive coordinator.
Yeah, you know, I have so much confidence in Jonathan, and that's why he's here in the first place. I know how smart he is as a coach. I know how detailed he is. How he's a leader of men. He just knows his scheme. He knows different schemes. I got a lot of faith in him, and I have no doubt that he's going to do everything he can do to get this thing fixed. I'm going to do everything we can do to get this thing fixed. And so, you know, again, when I say I have a lot of faith in him, and I do, I have a ton of faith in him, but it's not just on him, right? It's on me too, right? And so any product that's out on that field is my responsibility. I'm the head football coach of this team. So what the special teams looks like, what the defense looks like, what the offense looks like, is all has my name on it. And so we just got to, again, I'm not here to place blame on anything. We just got to find solutions. Anytime, and I think you guys have heard me say this, like, anytime I'm going to accept responsibility, people can like it or not like it, I'm going to always accept responsibility for what's happening on that field and not place blame on anybody, because it does. It always starts with me. So, again, it's not about blaming. I have a total confidence in Jonathan. We just got to find solutions, and we got to find them fast. Go ahead.
This can help us to learn more about the process, because 31 for 34, you just said, that's not acceptable. And that's the fourth quarterback so far this year that's had over an 80% completion rate. Do you sit down now with Jonathan and go, Jonathan, we've got to tighten this up. We can't let all these quarterbacks take advantage of our team this way.
Most definitely, Angelo. That's definitely a conversation.
Yeah.
After every week, we're going to sit in there, and like I said, we're going to go through a checklist of things. And one of those things is, like what I just said, was, hey, are we utilizing our best players? Another thing is, like, hey, what are the problems? Obviously, it's evident what the problems were. And what are the solutions, right? And what can I do as an offensive coach? And I always go in there and I say what provides difficulties as an offensive coach. And so I always want to give that perspective. But most definitely, Angela, like we can't let a quarterback go 91%, regardless of who the quarterback is. That's just that we need to challenge more. And so that's definitely a conversation. We have that every Monday. And it continues throughout the week, right, as the game plan is built of, you know, how we need to challenge more and what we need to do a little bit differently to make sure we're putting our guys in positions. Because at the end of the day, the players are going out there and they're trying to execute the call. And it's our job, first and foremost, to put them in a position to succeed with that call.
All right, Nick, the big question we've had about your decisions on the sideline, were accepting that penalty. Now, I know they didn't score on the drive, but everybody was very perplexed by that. I know you said you consulted a chart that indicated you probably would have gone for it 4th and 4. But, Nick, in retrospect, was that the right decision?
Sure. You know, anytime you make a decision like that and it doesn't work, it's not, it's the wrong decision, right? I mean, I get that. I understand that. And I know that's my job as the head coach to accept those responsibilities. I'm thinking of it this way, you know, and forget the chart. You know, I'm not even really thinking that. I'm really thinking in my mind, I'd go for it here. I got a quarterback I trust. I feel good about my team. I'm going for it right here. And fourth and four or fourth and three or whatever it was, I'm getting this thing, right? And so then I think about and so all these things are going through your mind as you make this decision. Then I'm thinking like, hey, what am I calling on third and 15? Well, my call sheet's a lot shorter right there on third and 15 than it is on fourth and three or fourth and four. So, you know, I took them back and you know what? And at the end of the day, and it didn't work, right? It didn't work. So that's my responsibility. When if I call a play that I feel really good about and it doesn't work, hey, it's still my responsibility, but I have to trust the process that I go through each and every week to make educated guesses and make educated decisions. And you know what? It didn't work. I was probably a little fast to accept that and like to go through that process and say, hey, I'll take it instead of waiting just a second. So, that's 100% on me. Again, the defense bailed me out there. I thanked every one of them for bailing me out on that one. Probably got the ball back similar to where we would have got it, had they punted on that one. Because they had a good punter as well, but I did. I made sure I went up to every. I went up. I made sure I went to Avante Maddox in the pass rush and thanked him for bailing me out of that play.
I know, but Nick, I what I was trying to say is you didn't need a process. The punt team was running onto the field.
I had already accepted the penalty. That's what I'm saying, Angela. I should have waited a second before I accepted that penalty.
Right, makes sense. All right. How much pressure do you feel right now to turn this thing around, Nick?
You know, pressure. Yeah, I always want. I want to turn this thing around. Obviously, it's just as bad, more so than anybody. And so it's not. I don't feel pressure. I just feel like this is my responsibility to turn this around. Period. And so, you know, and so we're doing everything we can to do so. We're working like crazy to do so. So I look at it more as my responsibility rather than pressure. You know, we all have responsibilities within our job. My job title says, you know, turn this thing around, win as many games as we possibly can, and let's roll. And so that's how I feel, more responsibility than pressure.
Nick, good luck in Detroit. Thank you for doing this. We'll talk next week. Thanks.
Thanks, Angela.
All right, that's Nick Sirianni this morning. You know, John, my quick thoughts, I'm going to hit three and then turn it to you. The beginning of the interview to me stood out the most, and the reasons are, he actually referenced that they're growing with progress, and he referenced specifically running the ball with running backs and having it under center. Yeah, but it's like, then why'd you stop? It makes no sense. Number two, he said, we want to be able to challenge a little bit more, referring to defense, different types of more aggressive defense. And he articulated what challenge means. We want to be able to challenge a little bit more. Hey, Nick, let me take you back to Phil Knight and Nike. They came up with this slogan about 40 years ago. It's three words. Just do it. Then just do it. If you want to do it, then just do it. Don't keep talking about it. Just do it. And the third point, John, is he talked about how every week he asks our coaches, you know, they identify who the best players are and says, are we using our best players? Nick, my hands up, back of the room. Over here, teacher. No, you're not using your best players. Like, you can figure out defensively, Fletcher Cox, you want to scheme that up, but just basic offense, your best players are on offense to get the ball in their hand. Miles Sanders when he's healthy, Dallas Goedert, Devontae Smith, I think I'd put Quez Watkins 4 and Gainwell 5.
Yeah.
Now, they're the five guys, but you spend so much time trying to get the ball to Jalen Reagor and stupid other stuff. Just get the ball to your – I mean, there were games where Miles Sanders and Goddard touched it. I think it was a combined, like five or six times. You can make a strong case they might be your two best players as far as skill position to get the ball to them. So all this, like, let's sit around and talk about who our best players are, and are we getting the ball to them? No, you're not getting the ball to them. John, go ahead.
I was struck by – he said, we've just got to find solutions. I don't think you know how.
He doesn't know how.
I don't think you will have solutions. I don't think you have them now. I don't think that will ever change. And I'm very, very tired of hearing it starts with me. It's got my name on it. That's on me. I need to do better. Do it.
Yep.
Do better.
Just do it. I mean, well, seriously.
But again, the problem is
you're unable.
Well,
here's the problem, John.
Because you're just not good enough at your job. You are not an expert at football like you claimed. You are a neophyte, and you don't belong in this spot. And it is truly embarrassing that you are our head coach.
It is. And really, it goes back to Lurie for hiring this guy. I'll sum up Sirianni in one word. Overmatched.
Yep.
One word. Now, you can say in over his head, which I guess is, four words? It's overmatched, in over his head. He does not know how to do what he needs to do. He does not know how to do it. To me, it comes...
And there's no one on this staff who's able to give him, like, a better idea. Aside from Jeff Stoutland, who, you know, might be able to, I don't know, chime in every once
in a while.
But
in the end, it's still, he's not the head coach.
There's no one who's been, like, a head coach who knows how to... Give him guidance.
Don't know how to do it. The whole thing's a joke. Let's go to Matt right now. Matt, go ahead, buddy. Your reaction to everything.
Hey, guys. Thanks. Listen, to Mr. Lurie, I was worried because Joe hadn't seen Ted Lasso, but the fact is he's watching it every week. Nick Lasso is the story of a moron coach who's doomed to fail. The difference is Lasso succeeds. So these T-shirts and this dog mentality, which is just Ted's be a goldfish – you strip it all away. Did anyone notice he's not wearing his visor anymore?
Well, I love that question to be asked to him tomorrow at the press conference. Nick, we noticed you're not wearing a visor with numbers. Why? I want to hear him express that it was, you know, he doesn't have to, like, give it all away, but just say, listen, I'm done with that. Enough of that. Enough of the gimmicky nonsense. Go there. Say it.
Yeah, all the gimmicks are done. The only T-shirt I want anyone wearing is Jeff, Howie, Gannon, and Nick at the lunch table in Overcare, and all four shirts say, I'm with stupid. Yeah. Because for him to think that he's seeing incremental progress, here's what I want to tell the Eagles. Be honest with us. You see incremental progress beyond our guys lining up and staring straight ahead with his eyes in the right place. I mean, my God.
Right.
It's like somebody needs to – my kid – and then, Joe, you just said it. I was losing my mind when he brings up under center. That's like what my kid told me. He cleaned his room. He basically did it one time,
and then
he never did it again. I mean, that is the height of idiocy. And here's my final thing.
Sure.
I would like Mr. Lurie to please petition the NFL for a special backyard football NFL dispensation so we can play all-time quarterback and give Jalen to the other team on the other drive and have their offensive coordinator go against Gannon's defense so we can get any idea if he's anything before the end of the year.
Look, a great call here, Matt. Give me a sports clip we've seen on TV a lot.
Hey, you know what? It might not win, but in the internet, maybe we've seen enough. The Philly special, brother. Come on.
You got it. Well, certainly not going to be a winning answer on a national level, but for us, near and dear to our heart, to say the least. 215-592-9494. Up ahead, Ross Tucker, he joins the show. His perspective on the just brutal Birds. I mean, they just flat out stink. And what a mess it has become. Ross, next, your phone calls as well, 94 WIP. Jetta Cameron, John Ritchie, 94 WIP. Well, it has already been quite a week around here with tremendous aggravation expressed by, I don't know, thousands, millions? Rightfully so. Our football team is driving us nuts these days. And for more perspective on the 2-5 Eagles, we turn to the guy we turn to every single Tuesday at this time. Does a great job, of course, covering the Eagles and the entire National Football League. You can follow his work on Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. Of course, he's got the Ross Tucker Football Podcast as well. And our buddy Ross is brought to us by First Trust Bank, official bank of the Philadelphia Eagles, Mr. Ross Tucker. How you doing, Ross?
You know, Joe, I was listening to the last segment, and I'm very confident that I'm doing better than you are.
Oh, my God. I'm losing my mind, man.
It sounded like it. I was worried you were going to have a stroke
segment. Like, if you like him, and I know Miles ultimately got injured, and it was fairly early in the game. But there is another running back, by the way. His name's Kenny Gainwell. He seems to be pretty good. Jalen Hurts under center. It was proven it can actually work. I mean, it's not like dividing by zero. You actually can do it. So just do it. I had a friend, Ross, text me during the commercial break and said, what you meant to say is just effing do it. I'm like, well, yeah, but I can't say that. I mean, if there are things you can do, just do it. Jonathan Gannon, try something different. Just try something different, dude. What you're doing's not working. Try something different. Ross, hello, your reaction to what we saw the other day.
Well, I saw your tweet after the game Sunday, Joe, where you said it's one of the lowest moments you can remember.
Yeah.
As an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, that was a really tough watch for me.
Yep.
It reminded me of last year when it was like Carson Wentz was hard to watch last year.
Mm-hmm.
But Carson Wentz was hard to watch because it was like a train wreck. You know, it was like it was like he had the yips. It was just painful to watch a guy that had played so well play that poorly. The Eagles were really tough to watch on Sunday because it felt like they were utterly powerless to stop Derek Carr and the Raiders.
Yeah.
And that they weren't going to do anything different to actually try to stop them. And I remember, like, I don't know about you guys, right? But I remember growing up in Wyomissing, which is Reading, watching the Eagles. And my dad would get frustrated when Izell Jenkins would give up like a 60-yard
sure,
bomb.
Of course.
You remember Izell Jenkins?
I remember it.
Toast was the nickname. Toast.
Toast Jenkins.
Right. But here's the deal. They would give up a couple bombs a game maybe. But the other plays, like, they were blitzing.
Yeah.
They were killing quarterbacks. They were dominant against the run. You at least felt like, okay, I get it. Like, we might give up one or two deep, and that's frustrating, and Izell Jenkins stinks, when really poor Izell was in cover zero in man-to-man coverage. But at least the Eagles were aggressive. I think if you walk down, you know, whatever, Market Street, Broad and Patterson, wherever you want to mark down, you said the Eagles are going to lose by two touchdowns. Would you rather them be passive or aggressive?
Yep.
Every single person would say aggressive. And here's the thing. I met with Gannon once during training camp for the preseason games. I was really impressed by him, really impressed. And he explained to me the philosophy of having essentially a 5-2 front. Because anytime you're getting run on, people just put the safety in there. And he thought they could stop the run without having to bring the safety down. And especially against a team like the Raiders, he didn't want to get beat over the top. Like, I totally understand the philosophy and the logic, guys. It's not working.
Correct.
It's not good enough. Like, it's almost like, you know, and I know we all have these things in life where you really believe something. And you put a lot of time into it, and like, you want to stick with it. It's not working. And I'll tell you right now, I'll tell you why I believe it's not working. I think that they overrated the defensive line.
I agree with you.
I think he thought, and John, you'll appreciate this, they're basically running a 5-2, John. I think he thought, if we have 5 D linemen up there, they're all good. They'll be able to stop the run. And then when the other team passes, we'll have a lot of, you know, 5 down fronts where they're all getting one-on-ones and we'll get quick pressure. It hasn't happened. Gannon needs to rethink his philosophy because the D-line is not nearly as good as he thought it was. That's my interpretation of watching them play.
Yeah, well, I guess Jannard Avery becomes one of those D linemen, like when they're using linebackers as one of, with an odd front, they're using linebackers as a quote D lineman with your theory, like that.
Right.
That
five guys on the ball.
Yeah, that five-two thing is interesting because, yeah, in a perfect world, that would be great. If you could just line up that way and stop the run without having to sacrifice, you know, the coverage on the back end. But, you know, again, to your point, like, this hasn't worked one little skosh this year at any point. And yet here we are heading into the 8th game about to, like, I'm assuming they're just going to keep trying to do this. Like, stubborn is good sometimes. Stubborn at this point is just moronic. Like, why on God's green earth are we still doing this, Ross? Like, yeah, you misunderstood how good, how much effectiveness your D-line would be giving you, but, like, man, that was like week two.
Yeah, and Ross, so, this is all, and part of what it bothers me. I mean, it's just 7-8 years ago, but this is what doomed Chip. I mean, Chip had a philosophy; he was sticking to it, come hell or high water. And you know what came? Hell and high water, both of them.
Well, here's the difference, though. Here's the difference. Chip had a long track record in his mind of success of that system working.
Yes.
So that's why he wasn't going to budge, because he had been so successful in college. I would like to think Sirianni and Gannon, I mean, they're like 40 and 38. It's their first time calling plays. I'd like to think that they are willing to be flexible and say, you know what, we're not getting what we wanted from the D-line. Like, we're not who we thought we were. We have to adjust. The interesting thing is, if you look at, like, a lot of the stats, the Eagles had, like, a middle-of-the-pack defense until this last game. Like, you know, all the DVOA stuff and the points allowed, it's not, you know, they gave up 28 to the Bucs, 18 to the Panthers. Like, they weren't playing that terribly.
Man. No, they were playing that terribly. And then other teams get up by 3 touchdowns, yeah, and they're like, hey, it's over. We're going to run the ball.
I agree,
like,
John.
It's all an illusion. And the fact that people actually bought into this at some point this year and said, hey, you know what? We kept it close with the Chiefs. We're good. Yeah, we can do this thing. Like, it's all fake.
By the way, the Chiefs aren't that good.
No, but their offense
and the Niners aren't good.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and let me just say one more thing. Like, I think the philosophy on defense, they thought teams would make mistakes. They thought teams would have penalties or incompletions or turn it over or not be patient. I think they thought they could get stops in the red zone. None of that's happening. 4 of the 7 games, the quarterback has completed over 80% of his passes. Like Derek Carr on Sunday, 31 of 34, that would really be hard to do even if there's no defense.
I can't even do it. I can't do it in Tecmo Bowl. That's a video
game. It would
game.
Be harder than you think with no defense to have 31 of 34
right,
like that.
Russ, I want to, and Ross Tucker is with us here. I want to ask you, Ross, the $1 million question. And I'm also going to ask you the $10 million question.
Ooh,
The $1 million question is, what do you think Jeffrey Lurie is thinking? The $10 million question is, what do you think Jeffrey Lurie will do about it?
I think Jeffrey Lurie is probably very concerned by what he's seen, really with the coaching probably on both sides of the ball. And I think he's a smart enough guy to realize when there's a lot of people in Philadelphia this frustrated and already calling for the D coordinator's head and the head coach's head, you know, that's not good after 7 games. However, I also think Jeffrey Lurie is smart enough to realize he's not doing anything in season. So he's got 10 more games against, by the way, the easiest schedule in the NFL for the rest of the year. The Eagles have the single easiest schedule for the last 10 games. I think Lurie knows he doesn't need to do anything about it right now, and he's going to give these young guys a chance to change their schemes, change their tune, and show a lot of improvement and win a bunch of games down the stretch, which, by the way, with who they play, the Giants twice, you know, Washington, like, it's absolutely a possibility. That's what I would say.
Joe DeCameron, John.
Here's what I would say, Joe. If it doesn't improve, it would not shock me if they were 1 and done.
Yeah.
But, I mean, they got 10 more games left, dude. There's a lot of time.
Yes, there is. That I agree with. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie, Ross Tucker as well. Twitter poll question of the day is brought to us by the casino at Delaware Park Sportsbook. You can watch and wager on all pro sports at the Delaware Park Sportsbook. Lottery agent for the Delaware Lottery. You must be 21 to play. This question stinks to ask, but we'll ask it. Who would you rather see win the World Series? A, the cheating Houston Astros, or B, the hated division rival, the Atlanta Braves? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. We come back. We rock all the calls. That's next. Your thoughts on the Birds. And Lurie, what you want to say to him and his Eagles? Your opportunity today on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.